The Chief of Naval Operations is in charge of manning, training, and equipping the entire Navy. And Admiral John Richardson, the current CNO, says that means civilians, too. In a bit of an unusual step for a military service chief, he's issued his own framework for improving the health of the civilian workforce. The new document calls for each of the Navy's commands to develop a strategy to make sure their civilian workforce is as healthy and well-developed as the military side, from hiring and training to performance management and professional development. Admiral Richardson spoke with me by phone to talk a bit about the new framework and what comes next.
The thing that got us thinking about it is we wanted to start with, in the sort of the highest level guidance that I've promulgated, the Design for Maintaining Maritime Superiority, there in that document, there are four lines of effort, one of which, the goal line of effort, talks to developing our people and, strengthening our one Navy team. And then we got to working about, what do we mean by that one Navy team? Who is on the team and who is a sort of a partner to the team? And we defined the team as certainly sailors, active duty and reserve. And then we also said, our Navy civilians are part of that team. And then our families. And they all have to pitch in together. And then we gave ourselves a number of tasks to which we're going to hold ourselves accountable. And many of those, as you can imagine, more traditionally would go towards the uniform part of that team and also to families, I think. But then, I had some very senior and thoughtful civilians on a team that was helping me think through this. And they said, hey, all of this that we're talking about in terms of strengthening our uniform team, we could use some of that on the civilian side as well. In fact, we may need it even more so, because whereas in the uniform business, we've got, a nice progression of schools as you go through your career that increase, they bring you into the Navy, they train you up on what it means to be in the Navy, and then each career milestone in the Navy, you've got a school, an attendant school to help you prepare you for that next milestone. And it's all pretty well laid out. That's not quite so clear for civilians. And so as the Chief of Naval Operations, leading the whole Navy team, we put some thought to this and then produced this civilian workforce framework.
One of the things that is different, of course, about the civilian workforce is that so much of it is dictated by OPM, by collective bargaining agreements that are somewhat outside the control of DOD. I know there have been some rumblings about trying to move at least some of that workforce from Title V into Title X, but that's a bit of a political buzzsaw. So two-part question, really. Realistically, how much can you do under the legal structure we have now? And does that legal structure need to change to give you more control over your civilian workforce?
Right. Well, I'll defer the question about whether the legal structure needs to change or not, because we really were tackling, how much can we do within the current structure, the current framework of authorities. And so we've been very closely working with OPM, the Secretariat, to make sure that all of this freedom for maneuver is well within the current constructs. And so it's really just taking advantage of the opportunity that we have right here in front of us, do those things for our civilian teammates that we would do for our teammates in uniform. And that is, one, we want to be competitive across the whole team. There is not anybody's potential that we, want to squander. We want to get the most out of everybody. And we want it to be the most satisfying for each individual as well. And so as we thought about, what are the major elements of that structure, in terms of recruiting the best talent and then bringing it on board, milestones, training milestones through the career, developmental milestones, kind of career management and mentoring, that was all, well within the current bag of authorities. And so we really didn't have to test changes to the law.
Under goal number one that you have out of the four in the framework, and by the way, just for our listeners, we'll post a link to the full document so people can find it easily. Under the goal of an integrated military-civilian team with the best people and the best jobs, you talk about one of the deliverables being a structure that gets to an optimum military and civilian workforce. To what extent are you going to be using this as an opportunity to kind of relook at what civilians actually do compared to uniformed sailors? I mean, do you anticipate some rebalancing there?
We are doing that now. We're doing that all the time. And it really is a complementary approach, right? So there are just things that uniformed sailors naturally are more predisposed to do, going to sea, occupying those operational type jobs, those sorts of things. And then, our Navy civilians occupy and do such great work in so many critical areas. So, one thing that I want to change with this framework is to highlight the critical contribution that our Navy civilians make. They're the ones that do all of the really complicated and talented work to repair our ships, right? In Navy shipyards, those are Navy civilians that have those tremendous skills as welders, electricians, pipe fitters, you name it, to do that work. Our labs are populated and run by Navy civilians. Those are the high-end scientists, and those, winning national-level awards in terms of creativity, innovation, and invention. Similarly, a lot of our security forces are Navy civilians as well. And then, there are terrifically talented technical people that are technical warrant authorities for designing and building ships and aircraft, managing the programs to bring those into place, et cetera. So there is, almost a natural division of labor there. And then there is also, particularly at the senior levels, there's a complementary relationship as senior uniform leaders, move at a sort of a tempo in and out of jobs. Their civilian counterparts can provide continuity and deep expertise in some of those jobs so that we get the best of both worlds going forward. So we're always looking for, that optimum mix of uniform and civilian to make sure that the team is most productive. That's really what we're after is, really doing the mission as best we can.
And another one of your goals in the framework is a governance mechanism to give you a Navy-wide perspective over the civilian workforce. Can you talk about what that Civilian Workforce Advisory Board is going to do, what N1 is going to do, what commands are expected to do?
Yeah, so because of that diversity that we just mentioned, Jared, not at my level, we call this a framework on purpose, right? It is not a strategy because it doesn't talk about the specific balancing of goals and resources and all of that. And it's because at my level, to get to that level of detail, one size does not fit all, right? So what this framework will do is charge each of those separate commands, the labs, the shipyards, you name it, they will be responsible for putting together a strategy to make sure that the civilian part of their team is as well managed and developed as the military part of their team. And so now you can start to see, well, the strategy that might work in a laboratory with a highly trained technical, kind of PhD workforce, that's going to be different than the strategy that will work in a Navy shipyard or will work for a security force or program managers, et cetera. So that diversity will be captured in each of those command plans so that we optimize the development plan for each of those populations. This advisory panel will make sure that we remain kind of united across the Navy at the highest level, and then also hold us accountable for reaching the goals we set for ourselves. And so we want this to be much more than just, a nicely expressed set of good ideas. We want this to be something that becomes real. And so this governance mechanism and this advisory board, Civilian Workforce Advisory Board, that board will be made up of representatives from across the civilian and military workforce that captures that diversity so that we've got a nice broad perspective. And then we'll not only cross-level best ideas and best practices across the Navy, but also make sure that we're delivering on the promises that we make to ourselves.
Last thing, sir, because I know you got to run. We do, of course, have people in the Navy Secretariat who think a lot about civilian personnel issues already. Is this
Yeah.
a hostile takeover of those duties by N1 and the Navy staff? I assume the answer is no. So how do you make sure you work in concert with the Don HR folks?
Yeah, no, just the opposite. In fact, this has been completely complementary. We've developed this very closely with Secretary Mabus and his team. They are enthusiastic about it, and we're united in terms of our goals to develop our civilian teammates. And so it's been very, very complimentary, very closely coordinated with them. And in execution, I think that this will be two hands on the same oars, pulling hard to make this thing work.